I just had it in me. It was chambered.
Well, we're recording now, so stop talking about all the dicks.
Oh, no!
Mike keeps penises chambered inside of himself.
I fire them like shotguns at women.
Oh, God.
I just walk up the street, I see a girl, go, pow!
Just imagine now, you look at a girl and go, ah, and like a penis shoots out of your mouth at the speed of light and just incapacitates a woman.
It doesn't shoot out of my mouth, how dare you? Shoots out of my ass.
Mike the Penis Shitter and I are here for another episode of ARG. I have literally no topic.
Cock Shitter is my superhero name, don't tell anybody.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me turn on my Cock Shitter beacon and get the Cock Shitter on the podcast.
Yeah, I don't have anything to talk about either, so...
It's a great week for equality in America, but we're not a political podcast, and we get pissed off easily, so we're not going to talk about that, but go equality.
We could talk about it. I don't care. I mean, I don't believe in equality, so whatever. I believe that everyone is inferior to me.
What's going on in the world of Power Rangers, Chris thought to himself as he opened Google Chrome.
Power Rangers, whatever. We talked to death about Power Rangers.
Yeah, I'm afraid if I get you talking about equality on this podcast, it will be the death of me. Hey, weren't you on that podcast with that cock shitter, Mike? It's his superhero name. Don't say that out loud. We're gonna fucking kill you, you bigot. Oh, son of a bitch.
But I'm not bigoted.
I'm not Mike.
No, I'm saying that I'm not bigoted. I just think that people kind of take their fight for equality a little too far sometimes. It's a good thing to fight for. It's a bad thing to obsess over.
I will concede that.
It's like that thing that the lady that posted the thing on Tumblr.
Oh, the lady that posted the thing on Tumblr. I know exactly what... Right on page with you, Mike.
Didn't you see that?
No!
Okay. Whatever. But no, she posted a thing that was like, of course you don't want to sleep with a virgin, because why would you want to sleep with a Charmander when you could have a Charizard? And this other girl flipped out about it.
Wait, how does that comparison work?
Well, because the Charmander is the phone going off. Charmander is the first stage and unevolved, and the Charizard is the fully evolved and more experienced. So you don't want to sleep with Charizard, or bleh, you want to sleep with Charmander when you could have a Charizard.
Look, all I'm going to say is, if you're posting Pokemon sexual analogies, problem solved. You're not getting laid, period.
But then
you ain't got to worry.
Someone else threw a fit about it, about how... virginity is stigmatized, and then said, posted all these examples she had from her life, how she didn't lose her virginity until she was 19, and she met all these guys saying that they didn't want to be with a virgin because they didn't know how to handle it, blah, 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 and then said, well, I guess this is what we get for living in a patriarchy. It's like, because guy virgins don't get the shit kicked out of them.
So, Power Rangers.
You just don't want to touch any of this stuff.
No.
Like, Power Rangers, Ninja Turtles, is there anything to get Mike off this topic right now? Oh my god.
Mike, boobs! No!
Let me tell you my problem with boobs.
Oh, that's right,
feminists,
you hate boobs.
Have them.
Shit. Send your complaints to Twitter handle @NoDiceMike.
Yeah, there's no feminists listening to this thing. And if they do, they know I'm joking. Not all feminists.
He's just joking, Tarv. Don't worry.
Tarv has boobs.
Tarv has what?
Oh, come on, find a topic.
I'm trying.
Find one!
But the internet's like, look, equality.
There had to be something. Isn't Comic-Con this weekend or something?
Yes.
There's something going on. I saw some announcement.
Hey, there's an exclusive Legacy Morpher being released at San Diego Comic-Con. It's like fucking gold-plated with die-cast metal Dragonzord and Tigerzord coins.
What?
Yeah. And they've got like a Bandai announced a bunch of shit today. Like, Bandai's like, we want more of your money.
All I saw was more Figuarts things announced.
Yeah, I saw the Samurai Figuarts.
The shiny ones.
How do you pronounce Figuarts? Figuarts?
Well,
Figuarts?
That it's action figure, so it'd be Figuarts.
Figuarts?
Figuart. That's how I've been pronouncing it, is Figuart.
I haven't been pronouncing it because there's nobody I have to talk about this with but you.
See, I don't have...
That was like the saddest statement on this show.
I don't have an inner monologue, so even when I'm sitting here in my room by myself looking at news, I'm like, Figuarts has announced a new Power Ranger figure. Fuck you! I don't have any money!
There's also a limited edition 20th anniversary 4-inch metallic Green Ranger with die-cast coin, and it's the coin with all the... It's like the Megazord symbol with all the dinosaurs on it thing, which I'm not a huge fan of because his head is way out of proportion for the rest of his body. There's a limited edition deluxe Gosei Morpher that is like, 24-karat gold-plated. These are all... The Morphers are both 24-karat gold-plated.
Jesus.
Yeah. And then if you play the ARG, and who doesn't play the ARG, there's a Green Ranger and a White Ranger exclusive card.
What's ARG? I
don't know what that means. The card game. ACG.
ACG, ARG, what the hell?
ARG would be an alternate reality game. ACG, action card game. There's no alternate reality game where you show up in a bunch of minivans, throw Power Ranger costumes at you, and if you're playing that game, call the police right now.
An AUG.
What?
EUG. Extended EUG? Universe game.
Extended Universe? That's a Star Wars thing. You know what?
Nerds games have too goddamn many acronyms for things. Just call it a card game. You
fucking card game.
Fucking nerds.
I remember when you played Magic Gathering TCG.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking trading card game.
This is an action card game, which I...
Action card game!
I've seen the cards. I mean, part of me just wants to get them because of the artwork on them. But that's what got me a billion Magic cards that I don't use. But it's like... It seems like it would actually be a pretty fun game. Because I looked up the rules and kind of flipped through the tutorial that they got on the website, and it seems like it would be fun, but I have absolutely no one here that would play it with me.
Yeah.
So I don't have any friends.
Thanks, Mike. Well, this is the last episode of ARC now.
I'm sad now. I want to go back at yelling at homophobes and feminists.
Let's look at the Mortal Kombat Tumblr tag and see how much porn there is. Not much.
No. But, blah, blah, blah. What else can we... talk about? I guess we could kind of maybe do a little Raw Reactor since we didn't do one last week.
I mean, what's there to CM Punk put a restraining order on his mom?
What?
Oh, you didn't see that? She evidently harasses him and tries to beg him for money, and then... Eventually, she, like, threatened to kill herself if he didn't cough up some money, so he got a 2-year restraining order against his mom.
Against his mother.
Against his mama.
Well. I mean, I know that, like, in the documentary DVD thing...
Yeah, he talked about his parents were kind of shitty, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't spend a lot of time at home, and that's why, like, the girls at the family that he did hang out with are, like, his sisters and everything, and...
Yeah.
It's like, wow, but I didn't know it was that bad.
Pretty bad.
Suddenly it makes sense why he's such a dick.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he went through some shit. I'm sure growing up was not fun. And, God, yeah, okay. I mean, of course, I've always defended him when people call him a dick because it's been like, yeah, I went up to CM Punk at the airport at 4 a.m. I kicked him in the face and said, sign my shoe. And he said no. So he's an asshole.
He's usually justified in being a dick to the fans.
Yeah.
They've usually earned it.
So, yeah.
Oh, my God. Sorry, I just read how much those Samurai Ranger figure arts cost, and I threw up a little in my mouth.
Well, I mean, okay, without, I don't know what they cost, so I'm going to just figure, the regular Rangers so far have been like $44, so that times five is like 200 something.
Yeah, $200.
Yeah, see?
that makes better. That's how much they normally cost anyways.
No, it's like, it almost seems like they forget who their actual core demographic is.
Mommy, please, what the fuck?
I mean, some of the Mighty Morphin characters, sure, are going to be aimed at an older audience, because what five-year-old knows what Mighty Morphin Power Rangers is now? But, right. But yeah, to do Samurai and have them cost $40 a piece, it's like, what child is going to be buying these?
A child with too much damn money.
And what self-respecting adult that's not either of us would buy these things?
Nice cover.
See, the thing is that I didn't need to cover that because we're not self-respecting adults. We have no
We're barely adults.
Well, this is an entertaining show.
I feel this is going to be a bad week for us. I'm exhausted, dude.
Why are you exhausted?
I've been moving furniture for like 2 days.
Why?
Because.
Another thing you just don't want to get into on the podcast?
Yeah.
Why not? Who cares?
I care. And it's boring. I care.
You always just want to be the nice one.
What? Well, like, all somebody's got to be the nice
one. Dick, and all of his girlfriends are dicks, and I hate everybody. And then I feel okay about it until Matt messages me on Twitter and says, so I listened to the podcast, and,
I saw that. What did he have to say about it? I saw he thought it was funny.
Well, it's like he thought it was funny until we got to the bit where I criticized the way he wrote Stinkchild. And,
Well, yeah, you did do that, didn't you?
Yeah. And then something about how, I guess it was the bit where I said that he was that guy that would bring up a reference to a movie that nobody's seen and then act like you're the asshole for not I was just like, I don't really remember everything that I said on that podcast, and I'm worried now that I inadvertently insulted you. He's like, yeah, you did.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I saw him a couple days ago, and I was like, I'm sorry about that, man. He's like, you weren't any more insulting than you are normally. He's like, well, that doesn't make me feel much better. Yeah, you were a dick on that podcast, but not any more than you are usually.
So, Curse of Chucky.
Curse of Chucky.
A direct-to-Blu-ray/DVD new Child's Play movie.
Oh, God.
I just read about this. Brad Dourif coming back to do the voice, because...
Because what else is he doing?
What else is he doing?
What else has he done?
Several things. Brad, he's one of those guys that you'd kind of go, Oh, right.
Just like, right. Yeah, he was in Cuckoo's Nest and...
Yeah.
Alien Resurrection.
He was in, God, there was one that I remember I saw, and I was like, oh, that's Brad Dourif.
And he's been in everything. It's hardly worth trying to mention what he was in. Put in a movie, he's probably in it.
Yeah, he is one of those actors. Oh, Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. The extended version only, though.
Just pop in a random DVD, and him and or Jeremy Piven will be in it.
They should just do a movie with Jeremy Piven and Brad Dourif.
Yes.
I said today I wanted to write a movie where, like, the main character survives and everyone around him dies horribly, but the main character is played by Sean Bean.
Wait, wasn't that Aliens?
Was it Aliens? Well, no, because Ripley was... Ripley wasn't alive at the end of Aliens, was she?
Yeah, she was.
Was she? I never saw Aliens.
What?
I had a very sheltered childhood, and it came out in 86.
That was over 20 years ago.
I'm lazy.
I mean, yeah, it took me a while to see Back to the Future, but Aliens? You haven't seen fucking Aliens. I saw Aliens when I was 10.
How do the... I can't believe people who know me are still surprised when I go, yeah, I never saw that. very sheltered childhood.
Well, because you bring up some of the most obscure fucking references. It's like when something like Aliens and you haven't seen it. It's like everyone's seen fucking Aliens. My mom has seen goddamn Aliens.
Your mom was in her 20s when Aliens came out.
But she didn't see it until just a couple years ago. And it freaked her out because there was a bit where the aliens are running along like a that ceiling paneling where it's got like a little bit of space above it, and they're crawling above that in that space, and they pop the Marines pop their heads up and they're shooting at him, and he's like, "Oh my God, it's giant ants!" And then they all get shot, and they go, "Ee!" And she goes, "Ah, the giant ants are screaming."
Yep.
I thought it was Curse of Chucky.
It's good radio tonight. Good radio.
Wait, I'm not seeing any mention of his wife or son.
Brad Dourif?
No, the Child's Play.
Oh.
Curse of Chucky. Oh, because it's a sequel to Child's Play 3.
That's what everybody wants to see.
it's one of those kind of midquels. We're not going to acknowledge the events of these other movies that sucked. We're going to take it back to the last movie that we liked. And this is a sequel to that.
Well, they spent all their money on Brad Dourif. They couldn't afford Jennifer Tilly, too.
Why? What's she doing?
Being Jennifer Tilly, riding high off the Bound fame with Gina Gershon. That was the movie where she had lesbian sex with Gina Gershon. Hey, Jennifer Tilly was in Monsters, Inc., man. Come on.
I just looked that up. That was the first credit that she had on here. I was just going to say, what is she doing? And I type it into IMDb and Monsters, Inc.
She was in Liar, Liar.
Who was she in Monsters, Inc.? God, it kills me that it was so goddamn long ago.
Oh, God, it was.
2002.
No, 2001.
2001, sorry. The game came out in 2002.
No, Triple H debuted in, like, the mid-90s. Ba-da-bum!
Yeah, she's not doing anything. They could have got her, too, if they wanted.
She's probably the hidden cameo in Monsters University.
So she can't be in a Chucky movie because she...
Disney Pixar got way more money to throw.
Wow, it's also got Brad Dourif's daughter in it.
Well, yeah, she came for free.
Who looks like Brad Dourif with long red hair. It's kind of creepy.
I love that it's going direct to DVD. That for some reason just makes me laugh.
Well, who's going to pay to see a goddamn Child's Play movie?
God, she does look like redheaded Brad. Oh my God, that's creepy.
I was like, wait, this chick has the same last name as him. Click on it, and it's like, daughter of Brad Dourif. Okay, look over at the picture. Jesus Christ.
She's still not as bad as Bruce Willis' daughter, though.
I'm not going to say anything.
No, say it. You've said everything. Say it.
I'm good with saying anything else, but Bruce Willis will kick my ass.
He's too busy being bored and semi-retired off that Die Hard money.
Like, I would face a legion of angry feminists before I would face one Bruce Willis.
Yeah, but he'd crack a one-liner and you'd die laughing.
Duh, Bruce, you're silly.
Bruce, you're so...
I'll see you now.
Already announced for 2015, Die Hardest.
God.
they just gave up naming those, didn't they? Die Hardest. God damn it.
The one after that's just going to be called Yet Another Die Hard.
Die softly, but still pretty hard.
Don't die at all. Live a long and fulfilling existence. Be happy.
It'll be a prequel about how Hans Gruber and John McClane were actually best friends growing up but forgot each other.
but they're still played by Alan Rickman and Bruce Willis, so it's like...
Yes, digitally younger.
No. It's just, don't even digitally younger them up. Just have them be fucking 30 years older and playing them their young selves.
Can you imagine... Just take a second, just imagine this. 67-year-old Alan Rickman saunters into the room and goes, "Hello, welcome to middle school."
Although that wouldn't work, because in Die Hard he didn't recognize him.
Yeah, but it ends with them falling out of an airplane that is inexplicably blowing up, and they both get amnesia.
So when they cross each other's paths in Die Hard, they've just forgotten who each other were.
Yeah, they had wicked amnesia.
Now, you've seen Die Hard that came out in 88, but you haven't seen Aliens that came out in 86.
We used to watch Die Hard at Christmas in my family every year. It's a Christmas movie.
You're too sheltered to watch fucking Alien, but you watch Die Hard.
Die Hard is a Christmas movie. No?
It is.
Thank you.
It is, in the sense that it takes place around Christmas. That always cracks me up. You're not the first person to say that Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
That is the best Christmas movie ever.
And that always cracks me up that people say it's a Christmas movie.
It is!
But Christmas is not, like, a main theme in the movie. It just happens to be around Christmas time.
If it wasn't for Christmas, the movie wouldn't take place, because it happens at a Christmas party.
But it could have just been an office party.
You think he would have just come into town for an office party? No, he was in town for Christmas. At a Christmas party.
I thought he just came into town to visit his wife.
Yeah, to go to the Christmas party and, you know, try to get back in her pantsuit because they were estranged.
He would have just come to an office party. It's Bruce Willis, he's crazy.
No.
It is as much a Christmas movie as Lethal Weapon is.
Did Lethal Weapon take place at Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
I thought only the third one did.
I don't think the third one took place at Christmas at all. The first one has Gary Busey shooting the screen that's playing It's a Wonderful Life.
Huh. Man, well, why was everything in the late 80s taking place at Christmas? Yeah, the movie ends on Christmas Day. Damn. Completely forgot about that.
And it opens in a Christmas tree lot.
I need to watch Lethal Weapon again. It's been a while. On January 19th, 2011, Warner Brothers announced plans to reboot Lethal Weapon without Gibson and Gluck.
Why reboot it? You can't.
New franchise to feature the same characters but a brand new cast.
You can't just...
Nope, here we go. Recast Lethal Weapon. Do it right now. Recast Lethal Weapon right now.
Recast Lethal Weapon right now.
Right now.
Okay. Riggs is Chris Pine.
Okay, I can see that. I'm okay with that.
And, fuck, what's that kid's name? Looking it up right now, I know what he's on.
Is Murtaugh Little Bow Wow? You can tell me right now. Do you want to cast Little Bow Wow as Murtaugh?
Donald Glover.
Oh, shit.
It's like, I knew his last name was Glover, but I couldn't remember his first name.
So.
Yes, Chris Pine and Donald Glover are Riggs and Murtaugh, even though, like, the whole thing is about how Murtaugh supposed to be older.
do they switch roles where, like, Murtaugh's the crazed war veteran and Riggs is the sane older guy?
Yes. Donald Glover is Murtaugh, who is suffering shell shock from the Gulf War.
So who is Mr. Joshua? Who's in the Gary Busey role?
Why not just make it a Community reunion?
Is it Chevy Chase? Are you going to play Chevy Chase? I'm imagining Chevy Chase and Chris Pine having a karate fight in Danny Glover's front yard. Although the roles are switched, so I guess it's Chevy Chase and Danny Glover having a karate fight, which I imagine from watching Community is just Chevy Chase and Danny Glover having a tickle fight in Chris Pine's front yard.
Chris Pine just standing there. What are you doing? Why are you doing this?
What the hell? I'm going to tickle you so good, Troy. I mean, Murtaugh. I mean, Riggs. I mean, you. The real question, though, the most important role in the Lethal Weapon franchise. Who plays Endo?
Endo?
Yeah.
Harold.
you remember which one Endo was, right?
Yeah, he was the little Chinese guy that tortured him.
Yeah.
That's why.
He was also in Die Hard. He's the guy that stole the candy bar.
Go watch any movie from probably the late 70s to the mid 90s with a Chinese person in it or a Chinese cast. That motherfucker.
He's in it. He's in it. And he's got that Fu Manchu every time.
Yes.
You know who I would cast as Endo?
Mm.
Same guy. Fuck it.
You're right. He doesn't look any different now than he did 30 years ago.
Same guy. Al Leong. His name is Al Leong. He was in Lethal Weapon 4.
They had the Chinese immigrants.
I didn't notice that.
I didn't either. Well, there were a lot of Chinese people in that.
There were a lot. They probably just were like, you! I was in the first one. Nobody cares. You!
We need more Chinamen.
So, just to recap. Your Die Hard reboot has Chris Pine as Riggs.
Yes.
Donald Glover as Murtaugh.
Yes.
Chevy Chase in the Gary Busey role, Mr. Joshua.
Mm-hmm. Or no, maybe Chevy Chase will play like the old drug runner.
The old drug runner. But then who's Mr. Joshua?
Who's Mr. Joshua? Why not Joel McHale? He's got a weird smile.
Okay, Joel McHale.
He's got a goofy Gary Busey smile. Why not?
Chevy Chase is, what was he got? Peter McAllister. The old drug runner.
Mm-hmm.
Joel McHale is Gary Busey, because nobody knew his name in the movie. He's Gary Busey. Yeah.
It's and, Mr. Joshua, come on.
And John Cho.
As Endo.
As Endo. I smell an Oscar.
No, I agree with you, though, that it should be, what's his name, reprising his role. And that could be, like, a main selling point, too.
Oh, my God. They could bring him in to torture Riggs, and about halfway through, he'll just be like, I'm getting too old for this shit, and walk out of the room. Hollywood, why won't you just hire us?
Chris Pine, we're Donald right Glover, and reprising his role from the original Lethal Weapon. Yong Dong.
Do you know how many people would come see that movie just for that cameo? I would.
They'd have my $10.
The rest of that movie's going to be shit, but I'm going to see that on the big screen.
I like how you just Lethal Weapon, recast it now. What about you? Who's your Riggs and Murtaugh?
Oh, I don't know. I just wanted to see what you said.
You jerk.
I can't top your stellar casting.
That's right. John Cho as Liu Kang.
John Cho as Liu Kang and Al Leong and yeah, and John Cho just everybody.
Any Asian that you need a role filled, John Cho.
I feel like John Cho would dispute you on that.
Why?
I don't know.
He needs the money.
John Cho would be like, I don't want to be typecast.
I don't want to be typecast is what I am.
I don't want to be known as the Asian guy. You're John Cho. I know.
You are Asian. And a guy. So you are the Asian guy.
Hey. That's ableist language, sir.
Whatever. I called him a Chinaman earlier. I think that's worse.
A little bit. Just a little bit. Oh, my God. That casting. Oh, my God. I just every week just start throwing a random 80s movie out there and be like, Mike, recast it now. Don't think. Just do it.
I wonder if they decided to reboot the series because just no one wanted to work with Mel Gibson.
Isn't Danny Glover retired?
I think he's semi-retired. I think he still does independent movies and stuff.
Wow. I'm looking at the list of roles mentioned in Danny Glover's, like, Wikipedia opening blurb, and it's just like, you couldn't, come on. The Color Purple, Predator 2, Witness, Lethal Weapon, and Angels in the Outfield.
What's an Angels in the Outfield? God damn it.
But now, wait a minute. Wiki says he's up for Lethal Weapon 5.
Well, yeah, they were planning on doing Lethal Weapon 5, but I think that that's been put on hold. It's Wikipedia.
On the Australian website, what's playing, an insider said they're talking again. Mel probably needs Joel, not to mention Lethal Weapon more than ever.
I just thought that maybe Lethal Weapon 5 is a Star Trek reboot.
Chris Pine meets Mel Gibson.
And he's playing, like, Murtaugh Prime in Lethal Weapon 5.
Murtaugh Prime?
Where he goes back
and Donald Glover's like, man, I'm getting too old for this shit. And behind him, he hears, you don't know nothing yet, boy. Why are we in an ice cave?
Oh, my God.
Every J.J. Abrams movie from now on needs to have people meet in an ice cave and be like, why the fuck are we in an ice cave?
I just think that needs to just be any reboot of a franchise. A character from the reboot has to.
Because 2 weeks ago we had
the character from the original.
Because 2 weeks ago we had the two Egons meet in an ice cave.
Mm-hmm.
And this week we had the two Murtaughs meet in an ice cave.
Yep.
Just
any reboot, that's what they need to do, is have an old actor meet a new actor in an ice cave.
So when they reboot Justice League, is like Batman gonna wake up in an ice cave and be surrounded by Michael Keaton, George Clooney, Val Kilmer, Christian Bale, and Adam West?
I don't think George Clooney would show up for that reunion. We need all the past Batmans. I'm good, thanks.
I'm actually good off the ER money right now. I'm trying to figure out how they managed to wedge Kevin Conroy in there.
It's like all the actors are standing around Kevin Conroy sitting in the back. Who are you? I did the voice of Batman. What?
What?
We all talked. We don't need another voice. Why are you here?
He's the only real Batman. Deal with it.
Like, I did Batman in the cartoon and the video games, and I've done, like, all the Batmans. It's like, no, we did all the Batmans. You didn't.
I would pay to see that movie.
That's going to be Superman has to find Christopher Reeves.
That's going to be hard to do.
He's got x-ray vision.
He was going to meet me up here at the top of these stairs. I don't know what's keeping him. Oh.
Is that a thought of Superman running around a graveyard looking in? I was like, nope, not him.
Running around a graveyard with his x-ray vision, just checking the graves. Nope. Oh, that one's still alive.
Batman's like, why don't you read the headstones? It'd be easier. Superman, I found him. He's right here. How did you find him, Batman? You don't have x-ray vision? I read the headstone. You truly are the world's greatest detective.
Oh, a man of common intelligence in a town of...
Oh, God. I kind of want to do that as a comic now or something.
Oh, my God.
Maybe he doesn't have to find Christopher Reeves, but they have to find the grave of somebody. And don't worry, I'll use my x-ray vision.
You don't need to use that.
Oh, man, Mike, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Someone is selling an enhanced Princess Leia bust on eBay.
Enhanced Princess Leia bust?
A custom modification of the gentle giant version of everyone's favorite princess as she might have appeared in an adult version of Return of the Jedi includes magnetic bikini top to cover up her enhanced naughty bits. Basically, somebody bought the gentle giant slave Leia bust and said, I'm going to modify it where she's nude. And now they're selling it on eBay. Condition used. Ugh.
I don't even want to know what that means.
I mean, somebody else's bust was enhanced.
Ew.
Wow, it's only $50.
There you go.
And shipping is $40.
Why would you do that?
To put that in a perspective, this vintage Princess Leia figure from the 80s, from the original Return of the Jedi line, is only $8 with $3 shipping.
Has this podcast just gotten so boring that we're surfing eBay now, looking for shit to talk about?
It's an off week. There's not really been a lot of news.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have more to talk about next week after Comic-Con.
Yeah. All the wells are dried up.
Although I did see on Twitter today that Rob Liefeld's children are embarrassed of him.
How apropos.
Apparently they were watching the trailer for the Deadpool video game.
Yeah.
And his kids, for whatever reason, how Rob Liefeld's kids are super sensitive about swear words.
When did Rob... Really?
Yeah.
Are they sensitive about pockets, too? Dad, no, those pouches, oh, they offend me.
Son, remember to take your backpack. No, Dad, no.
I swear Rob Liefeld used to have his caps lock turned off. What the hell? What the hell, man? What the hell?
Oh, this is not his official Twitter. The at Rob Liefeld, where it's all caps and shit. Yeah, no, that's not him.
Oh, that's not him. Okay.
Whew. I do forget what his actual one is. Oh, it's Robert Liefeld. That's
oh wow. Okay. Phew.
Let's scroll down all the retweets and bullshit and most interesting thing about the Deadpool game for me is my youngest son's shame and horror at the language. I'm ashamed for you, Dad. He's our most ruthless, competitive, cocky child, but language is a big deal for him. He is truly upset, angry, walked out after the cable intro. Yeah.
Rob Liefeld's kid is a pussy.
The 11-year-old is mostly upset he can't share it with his friends. But his 13-year-old hates him because of the bad words.
I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast.
Well, he should listen to the old podcasts where we routinely bashed his father for drawing pockets and crooked guns.
What do they talk about in this old one? Pockets, crooked guns, Jonathan Brandis, dead babies.
But they didn't swear as much as Deadpool Dad.
Man, the old podcast sounds so dark when we talk about it. But then you listen and it's really just kind of boring.
Well, they really were. There was nothing really of substance there.
I spent so much time telling people about the audacity of the Dead Baby podcast that I went back and listened to it, and I'm like, oh, is that it?
But is it really not offensive, or is it just that we're so desensitized to that shit that we're like, oh, that was nothing?
Yeah, I need to go find some nice little Christian person to be like, hey, listen to this podcast and tell me what you think.
Watch their head melt.
I'd never hear from that person again.
Ooh, damn. Okay. Hmm.
Ugh. Oh, let's see here. Oh, hey, Rob Van Dam being advertised for Raw July 15th.
That's after Money in the Bank?
Night after Money in the Bank. Am I off that night? Here's my schedule. Here's my schedule. No, I'm working that Sunday and that Monday. I will watch it on Hulu.
Then
I will be like, Rob Van Dam? More like Rob Van Spam is Delicious.
What?
Because he's kind of fat.
Well, apparently the reports are saying from, like, the last show where he wrestled Tommy Dreamer that he's in way better shape than he was when he was in TNA.
Well, yeah, then we have this discussion on Raw Reactor where it's like, TNA, nobody gives a shit about TNA. WWE, better get in shape.
Yeah. He started, he put down the bong and started doing some sit-ups.
Maybe he just, like, put the bong on a high shelf and he couldn't do a hit until he did a sit-up.
I can't, okay,
One! Two!
Which is kind of funny. We're talking
then
about
he, like,
that
loses cause... count, so he does, like, 2,000 sit-ups.
And then,
is that how pot works?
Jack Swagger was found guilty of his
DUI
charge.
Yeah, he's just on suspension and paying a lot of money.
Is he suspended from wrestling?
No. I'm sorry, not suspension, probation.
Oh.
It's like being suspended from wrestling, but you still get to do your job and you really don't suffer at all. Oh my god, what's Jack Swagger going to do about being on probation? Probably just go about his life.
But he is going to get kicked down to working superstars.
Shit. He'll be on NXT. Jobbing to Cassius Ohno.
Like, hey, Zeb Coulter, what happened to your real American?
Shut up! He was a real disappointment.
Antonio Cesaro, he's my real American. No, the one before that. Justin Hawk Bradshaw? No, the one after him. I don't know what you're talking about.
I did like our idea we discussed earlier about doing a wrestling buddy cop show with JBL and Zeb Coulter.
Super xenophobic INS cop wrestlers.
They're on a quest to find Mil Mascaris to get, get JBL his money back. But on the way, they're going to throw some immigrants out of this country, too.
Body slamming you back where you belong.
We're here in this Taco Bell. Somebody better run for the border, because we're going to fucking drag you there. Hogan's reporting his hand is perfectly healed back up after the radiator explosion.
The Taco Bell, Zeb's at the counter yelling at these people, and they're like, oh, okay, whatever. And then JBL comes flying in through the drive-thru window and clotheslines from hell everyone at the counter.
Why do I get the feeling the bit is positioned that way? Because Zeb Coulter would just get stuck in the drive-thru window like Winnie the Pooh. Get back here, you immigrant varmint.
When they drive down to the KFC down the street and he tries it and he does get stuck.
The funny thing about that to me is I don't know how long it's been since you've been in the Taco Bell, but the employees are the whitest ones you'll ever see.
Oh, yeah.
Sir, I was born in Wichita.
It's the Taco Bell. We have a Taco Bell and a Wendy's that are, like, in the same parking lot of this big outdoor mall thing.
Right.
And the Taco Bell is all white people and the Wendy's is all Mexicans.
Do you think on lunch shifts they just, like, swap positions?
Yeah, they just run to each other's restaurants. That's bad. That's the worst thing we've said tonight.
I gotta tell you, I worked at Taco Bell for a little while. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
About a year. By far, my favorite thing about... If you can get a job when you're 19 working at a Taco Bell and you live in, like, a small kind of redneck community... You're going to have the time of your life because you're going to get to listen to every white trash redneck in the county come through your drive-thru at midnight and attempt to pronounce your menu. Yo, I'd like one of them caramel apple pies. That literally happened. How about a chalupa? It's chalupa. Yeah, chalupa.
Chalupa. Quesadilla.
No maters, please.
No maters on my chopper, please.
Shit, I can go for some Taco Bell right now.
Recording podcast makes Chris hungry.
Everything makes Chris hungry. He's fat. Yep. We got to fill at least another 10 minutes, because we'll cut all the dead air out of this one. We're going to have like the shortest podcast yet.
We another 20 minutes to make up for all the dead air.
Just breathe real heavy for a second.
Let's go silent.
Tweet, 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 tweet. Hey, let's see what's going on Twitter.
I was looking at wrestling news.
Nothing. Nothing is going on Twitter.
Hall of Famer. I read this thing. Hall of Famer returning to the ring, potentially facing former WWF star. WWE Hall of Famer Bob Backlund is being advertised for the Hinkley Annual Corn and Clover Carnival in Hinkley, Minnesota on July 13th. Backlund is scheduled for two matches throughout the day against world champion Gatecrasher Wade Olson and our Ken Patera. Ken Patera is a former WWF star, Intercontinental Champion, and World's Strongest Man competitor. He was last seen wrestling in 2011, and he worked a match against none other than Bob Backlund for Juggalo Championship Wrestling's Legend and Icon.
Oh, snap. I don't... Wait. Oh, Ken Patera. That was Kenny from the Spirit Squad, wasn't it?
No.
No? Who the hell is Ken Patera? I feel I should know that.
He's an old wrestler. Old wrestler.
Oh. Oh, he's 70. God damn, dude. Hang it up.
Yeah, he was doing strongman competitions and worked in the NWA and WWF, WWWF, AWA. But yeah, it's like, okay, there's a 70-year-old Ken Patera. How old's Backlund?
He's 63.
He's a 63-year-old and a 70-year-old wrestling at a Juggalo Championship Wrestling show.
No, they're wrestling at the Hinkley Corn and Clover Carnival.
Yeah, now they're wrestling there. But the last time they worked together in 2011 was a Juggalo Championship Wrestling event.
Juggalos, this is why your babies are dead.
See how far they've fallen. They're like world champions and the biggest company in the world, and now they gotta work Juggalo Championship Wrestling events.
Does Juggalo Champ... Hang on. I wonder. Okay. Juggalo Championship Wrestling has a Wikipedia page and a horrible logo. Oh my god.
Gotta see this now. Also, just the kind of bland splatter text with not even that much splatter around it.
JCW records the majority of its shows and releases them in episodes of Slam TV and on DVDs, which are sold in their online store. It launched the Juggalo Championship Wrestling School with Kevin Kennedy, Kevin as head trainer in 2010. Madman Pondo. That's his ring name.
Who's this? Who's Madman?
Let's see. 2007 End of Year Awards. Best Tag Team of 2007, Madman Pondo and Necro Butcher.
Yeah, I still love the
team. Also, Pimp and Gimp Connection. Oh! Pimp and Gimp Connection? The Human Tornado and Zach Gowen. Oh, wow. Best Face of 2007 in Juggalo Championship Wrestling. Do you see who it is? Guess who it is, Mike.
Best Face?
Yeah, just guess. Don't look, just guess.
Best Face in 2011?
2007 in Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
I want to say The Raven?
Scott Hall.
Oh, God.
And Too Tough Tony, which might have just been Scott Hall wearing leather pants. I don't know. Yo, I'm Too Tough Tony. I'm not Scott Hall at all. That other guy, he wears trunks and has a toothpick, and I wear leather pants and don't have a toothpick.
So was this Madman Pondo?
Yeah.
Kevin, I wanted to see what his name was. I couldn't find it on the JCW page. Kevin Kennedy? Just listening to you try to get through that. Damn it. Kevin Kennedy.
Well, because at first I was like, Kevin Kennedy, and in my head I went, Kennedy.
It's going to sound like you stumbled over it. Kennedy.
Well, it's just whenever I read anything related to the Juggalos, I have small aneurysms form.
Get off the JCW.
Here's the current roster of Juggalo Championship Wrestling. There is Too Tough Tony, who is their creative guy, their writer, and their champion. Oh, hey, Vince Russo, how you doing? Bill Martell, Breyer Wellington, Bubba McKenzie, Bull Payne, Butler Jeeves. You misspelled Jeeves. Is it Jeeves, maybe?
Jeeves. Butler Jeeves.
Jailbird Man, Jimmy Jacobs, Josh Movado, Congo Kong. Congo Kong.
Congo
Madman
Kong.
Pondo, Necro Butcher, Officer Colt Cabana.
Yeah.
What?
But I wonder if he's actually part of the...
That's actually Colt Cabana.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I wonder if he's actually, like, a full-time employee, or if he just makes sporadic appearances. And then, yeah.
He is a former one-time JCW World Heavyweight Champion. And that was in... 2011? Colt, we love you, man. Get a real job somewhere.
But he's in, like, Ring of Honor now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's, well, supposedly they're, you know, we talked about this the other day, they're trying to get him to do some sort of a gig with,
Yeah, Punk's trying to get him into commentary.
Something, yeah.
You didn't even finish the roster. You got the Colt Cabana.
Paulie Tomaselli, Raven, Ring Rider Red, Ring Rider Blue. Are they like the Power Rangers? What? Rhino, Rob Conway. Rob Conway. Wow. Sabu, Sexy Slim Goody. I feel dirty just saying that name. Tracy Smothers, Eugene. Oh, that's actually Eugene from WWE, but he changed his name up because WWE. Vampiro, Vito Tomaselli, the Weed Man. I'm sure it's because he likes to do gardening.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and Zangoa. And then their female division consists of two wrestlers. Amber O'Neill and Isabella Smothers.
Isabella Smothers' real name is Mickey Knuckles.
That's a way better wrestler name.
Yeah, I mean, she's wrestled under that. She was in, yeah, she was in TNA as Moose.
Duh, because Moose Knuckles.
And yeah, she didn't last very long. I think she broke her leg.
They have a manager named Truth Martini. Just going to say that again. They have a manager. named Truth Martini.
I gotta find that article. That reminded me of another thing that I meant to read and I didn't. Read something about R-Truth's sister dying.
Oh, yeah, R-Truth's sister died of cancer the other day.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't like a murder or something.
No.
I mean,
what,
still...
What? Wait.
I didn't mean to say that and make it sound like it's less tragic that...
I'm just like, why did you instantly assume it was a murder?
Anytime a young person dies or a younger person dies, I immediately think it was a murder. I don't automatically assume cancer ever.
Now, did you, like, do you always go like, oh man, was it murder? Or do you go, oh man, was it murder?
Murder.
Da-da-da-da!
It was murder. Yes, I twirl my mustache and wring my hands.
Murder! Oh! Well, it hasn't been officially announced. Curtis Axel and The Miz for the Intercontinental title, currently penciled in for Money in the Bank.
Woo! Even though I think that Axel should be in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
He's got to put that title on the line.
How long did Cody Rhodes have the Intercontinental title without defending it? They don't need to have it defended. I mean, it's like, okay, they're immediately throwing Axel into this storyline with Punk as the Paul Heyman guy thing.
Yeah, the Paul Heyman guys.
Yeah. And it's like, so we're all expecting a double cross in the Money in the Bank match.
So they just loaded up with Paul Heyman guys, yeah. And they all, like, throw everyone out of the ring and then point to the title and go, or point to the briefcase and go, get it, Punker!
Well, I'm just saying, like, have Axel in there and maybe have him, like, as, like, Heyman's trying to protect Punk.
Yeah.
And so he just has Axel kind of doing all the dirty work, keeping people off Punk and trying to lead Punk to the belt. maybe then Punk would hit him with the finisher or something. Just be like, I don't need your help. Leave me alone. Your duty. And I don't like you. Even though my thing was that I thought that that would be a perfect match to debut the Wyatt family in.
Yeah.
Because, like, you got all these main event guys. None of them really have storylines right now. So you have the match going, and I'd say, like, a couple guys hit a finisher. My idea was to have Daniel Bryan and Kane be, like, the last two guys standing. Kane chokeslams Bryan because they've been building up to them splitting up anyway. Why not just solidify it there?
Right.
As Kane goes to, like, everyone's down now except Kane. Kane starts climbing the ladder. Now you have Wyatt's big guys come in. They attack Kane. They beat him up and then kind of fend everyone else off as Bray Wyatt just kind of saunters down to the ring, climbs the ladder, and grabs a briefcase.
Yeah.
With that creepy smile on his face the whole time.
Is he wearing the mask?
I don't know. Is his nose still busted?
I don't know. May as well just let him keep the mask on. I guess we can talk spoilers since this will come out a week after Friday. They have announced the competitors in the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank. Or they will be announcing it, well, I guess it's tonight now.
That's another thing that pissed me off, but go ahead.
Okay. Have you read the competitors?
I haven't. I only saw a match listing. I didn't see, like, storyline stuff.
Participating in the SmackDown World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank. Well, I guess it's not the SmackDown match anymore. You know, fuck it. Fandango, Antonio Cesaro, Jack Swagger, Damian Sandow, Cody Rhodes, Wade Barrett, and U.S. Champion Dean Ambrose.
There's a clear disparity between the two groups of guys.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's see, a bunch of guys who, if they have been on TV, have been in, like, the opening hour, or, like, the opening couple of matches, and most of those guys haven't been on TV regularly for a really long time, so now why are they getting a shot at the world title?
I do wish if they were going to do this, because, I mean, hang on, let me... Let me just look at the card here. Because, I mean, I'm looking at the people who are in the supposed the WWE Championship Money in the Bank match. I wish they had just said it was former WWE title holders again. It just kind of makes sense. A lot of those guys, like, why is Kane in that match? So he can have a spot with Bryan.
Well, he could technically be in it anyway if it was just former WWE champions.
It could, but then it would kind of make sense. But as it stands right now, I mean, eh.
But no, the thing that bothered me about it, I was going to mention this, was that it's like it was set up with Stephanie going back and talking to Vicky, saying, you haven't announced any of the Money in the Bank participants yet. Don't worry, I'll go do it. And then she goes out there and just lists off people. Like, for something that would guarantee someone a WWE championship match,
right,
whether they did a run-in or they actually called it and did it ahead of time, it's like, this is something that should have qualifying matches for it. It's like, earn your spot in this match.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be the same...
They did that last year, didn't they?
I think so, but...
With the...
No,
with the
last year was the former WWE champions.
Well, yeah, but with the World Heavyweight Championship match, they had the qualifiers, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they did. But for the WWE one, it was former WWE champions, and that was stupid to me.
Hey, I wonder who's going to win this match.
But, it's like, okay, you could have the same guys... Even if you just said Rob Van Dam's already going to be in it.
Yeah.
And then just have the other guys win some matches on Raw and say, okay, that's why you're going in.
Yep.
But as it stands right now, out of all these guys, Randy Orton shouldn't be in there because Daniel Bryan beat him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks Kane or Orton or any of them are going to win. I don't even think RVD, anybody believes he's going to win it.
I think that's the best thing about this match is, like, looking at all these people, I could see all of them winning, but I could also see none of them winning.
They just announced the surprise run-in, and it's Ric Flair.
Well, just, like, It's like they could do anything with any of these guys to where they could win it or not win it, and it would make perfect sense, booking-wise.
Oh. Not if it makes sense to me anymore. Not if it makes sense anymore.
Even though, like, I think that, like, they've got the WWE title match, John Cena versus Mark Henry.
Uh-huh.
So I think that Bryan should win the briefcase, Henry should beat Cena for the title, and then have Bryan come in and steal it from Henry.
Oh, man, that would give him, like, an instant feud against Henry.
But then, like...
Because you'll remember that's how he got his World Heavyweight Championship strap.
Right, but I think the announcement that Henry made about him retiring and then when he turned on John Cena, I think that he's actually headed to retirement.
Yeah.
But it would be a good way of... It's like the WWE title is the one that he hasn't held yet. So he beats John Cena, he gets the title, he gets that, albeit brief, championship win. So he can still claim that he got all the titles. And then Bryan comes in and takes it, and Mark Henry can go retire or whatever, and then they can continue on with Bryan as the champion.
What, I'm trying to think here.
Who fucking deserves it after the last few weeks, because he has worked his ass off.
Let me see here. I clicked the wrong damn thing. I clicked the wrong damn link. Would Mark Henry not be a Grand Slam champion if he won the WWE title?
I don't know. I don't think he ever won the Intercontinental title.
No, he wouldn't. There's only two remaining active competitors who are eligible. That would be William Regal, who's yet to hold a primary championship, WWE or the World Heavyweight title. Mm-hmm. And The Undertaker, who just needs the Intercontinental Championship. And I don't think either of them are going to get it, because Regal will not get a primary run, and I don't think The Undertaker will come back for an Intercontinental run.
Oh, my... They could have him.
Let's just imagine for a moment.
They just have him show up, chokeslam Axel, steal the
champion.
Belt.
Huh?
They just have him show up, chokeslam Axel, take the belt. Like, okay, I'm a Grand Slam champion now. Thanks, y'all.
And then he just immediately, he's like, I'm too old for this shit. Throws the belt on Axel and leaves.
Like, I want it, but I don't really want it. I just wanted to say that I'm a Grand Slam champion. You can have it back. I mean,
rest in peace. The last Grand Slam champion was actually the Big Show.
Yep.
When he won the IC title from Cody Rhodes.
And Cody's only title defense in like 9 months.
And then immediately got it back.
Yeah, wasn't it like the next pay-per-view? Big Show held it for all of a month, and then... Yeah, they had that tables match at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, and then Big Show like walked through the table.
He fell off the apron and put his foot through the table. And like, oh, nope, you lost it! Such dumb booking. God.
I wish they would... I don't know. Part of me wishes they would bring back a tertiary championship so we could start having Grand Slam champions again.
Well, I mean, I guess of the current... Because Big Show never held the European title.
No, he had the hardcore title. The two tertiaries are the European and the hardcore title.
Yeah, whatever.
They don't consider, WWE doesn't consider the U.S. title a qualifying title.
It's like right now I'd say that anyone that held all of the championships, all the active championships, would be a Grand Slam champion.
What did Mark Henry never?
He never held the Intercontinental title.
That's right.
Or the WWE title.
Right. Well, he's never held the European or hardcore either, has he?
He was the European champion.
Okay.
Jeff Jarrett handed it to him for helping him.
That's right.
We were just talking about that the other night.
That's right. So he does qualify then. Because he was a tag champion once, wasn't he?
A couple times, yeah.
Yeah, so then he would just need a Intercontinental run with it. That's all he would need. Because by their standards to qualify, you have to hold one of the primary championships, which is either the WWE or the World Heavyweight title. A tag team championship, either World or WWE. The Intercontinental title.
Either World or WWE. There's only one now.
I know. But I mean, like, if before the merger, like, before they unified the titles.
Right, yeah.
Either one of them would have counted. And then, because, like, Booker T qualifies, but he only held the World Tag Team titles with Test in 2001.
Were you waiting for a joke or something when you said that?
I just... kind of weird to look at me like, oh, Booker T and testicle, or Tess and testicle.
Remember, that's what his fans were called.
It's true. He's dead now.
That was Stacy Keibler's brilliant marketing to get Test over, was to call his fans the testicles.
It was the Attitude Era. It was different.
I'm still saying that that was post-Attitude Era because that's after WCW went under.
Oh, well, yeah. Was that when it happened?
Yeah, because Stacy Keibler was in there.
That's right. Yeah, that'd be post-Attitude Era from my understanding. I think everybody kind of considers the last day of WCW to be the end of the Attitude Era.
That's, yeah, generally. I've heard,
because after that, I've always heard it referred to as the Invasion Era.
Yeah, but, I mean, even, like, there's some people who still claim it went on a couple of years after that, because after that, then we got that brilliant storyline where Kane was a necrophiliac. That's not PG.
Well, post-Attitude Era wasn't PG either. It didn't come PG until 2005? 6?
Mm-hmm.
So, that was the Invasion and then the Ruthless Aggression Era, was my understanding.
Yeah.
It's confusing as shit.
Well, they just put these arbitrary titles on time spans, and it's like, who knows when they began or ended?
I've heard some people, because a lot of people see the PG as kind of starting to go away. And I see a lot of people saying that ever since Punk Shoot, which was 2 years ago, yesterday now, by the way, 3 years, 2 years ago, began, yeah, they're saying that kicked off, a lot of people call it the reality era, because they're trying so hard to make everything seem so realistic.
Those people are dumb.
Those people are marks. No, smarks. Those people are smarks.
I hate smarks more than I hate marks at this point.
Smarks, yeah, you know, smarks get stitches.
But, yeah, it's like, who knows when it began or ended, but still, yeah, that was an Invasion Era thing, I guess. Ugh, who knows, who cares? Test fans were called testicles.
That's what matters.
That's the long and short of it.
It's funny that you called that the long and short of it. Testicle jokes.
Testicles aren't really long and short. Okay.
Oh, wait. You can become an FCW Grand Slam champion or an NXT Grand Slam champion. You just have to win.
You win
all of the titles.
So you win the NXT Championship, and congratulations, you're the Grand Slam champion.
You have to have the Heavyweight Championship, Tag Team Championship, and the Jack Briscoe 15 Championship. There are only two Grand Slam champions. They both won the Tag Team Championship with each other. Seth Rollins and Richie Steamboat, who may be coming back to the ring soon, they said. I imagine he'll get called up eventually.
What's wrong with Richie Steamboat right now? He's got, like, a neck injury or something?
He's got a back injury, and they were actually saying it could be career-ending, but now they're expecting him to recover.
I heard that. Yeah. I was like, that's a shame if that put him out.
Yeah. I was looking forward to seeing him come out, because I like his dad.
I'm a fan of your daddy, so I hope you come up soon.
Fan of your dad. I hope you don't suck. I will say, his dad clearly had some intelligence, because he knew not to go into pro wrestling with the name Richard Blood.
But that seems like it would be a better sounding
Dick Blood
wrestling. Okay, maybe not.
There's a moment where you're like, no, that's a
maybe if he had debuted about 20 years after he did, or 15 years after he did, it would have been the mid-90s, a guy named Dick Blood. That would have got over.
You sure about that? There's a 40-year-old guy in the ring. He introduces himself as Dick Blood. Yeah, he's over.
No, I'm saying if he had come around about 15 years later. Like, say that he was born 15 years later and everything was just pushed that much further.
I don't know. Probably.
It couldn't have been any worse than a lot of the shit we got in the 90s, so.
Yeah. Well, let's see, his fans wouldn't be called the testicles. What would they be called?
If it was dick blood?
Yeah.
I don't know. Your fans of dick blood, period.
Nah.
And then I'm on the NXT page. There is a lot of chicks who they've signed that have yet to appear.
Yep.
Brittany Fetkin, CJ Perry, Erica Hammond, Eva Marie appears on Total Divas, JoJo Offerman also appears on Total Divas. Who the fuck watches that show?
Nobody. I don't think it's aired yet.
Lexi Kaufman, Rebecca Knox, Rachel St. Clair, would that be Rachel? Rachel? Whatever. And Sarah Bachman.
Bachman?
We need women now! You had plenty down here. Why didn't you just use them? We need more!
You heard it, WWE.
Do any of them
Mike says, send us your women's. Sorry, I went through the roster and I got thrown off for a second. I was like, Camacho? Oh, yeah, he's still employed.
Let's see here. Sarah Bachman is a Swedish arm wrestling champion. Retired from arm wrestling to pursue a wrestling career in May of 2013 when she decided to sign with WWE. So she just called up WWE and been like, I'm Swedish, I want wrestling.
Pretty much. Bork.
Change your name to Sarah Borkman. Rebecca Knox, let's see. She is actually a wrestler, okay. In Europe. In Japan.
They've kind of called up Summer Rae.
But she's not wrestling.
She's close enough.
Let's see, none of the others have Wikipedia pages, so who gives a shit?
And don't forget, Ric Flair's daughter, Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. I'm really hoping that she's decent.
Really hope she got that part of Ric Flair's genes?
Yeah.
It's funny, I got a time hop notification of some tweets I sent a year ago. And it was a year ago was when Ric Flair's wife was arrested for domestic abuse against the Nature Boy. And I was just tweeting some comments wrestling fans had made about it. And they genuinely made it hilarious. Let me just pull these up and share these with you. Because I feel you would get a kick out of these. Cops were called up to Ric Flair's house on a domestic abuse call. Jaded wrestling fans have, of course, made it hilarious. Response number one, Ric Flair carried his wife to a good match. Response number two, so is she the man now? Response number three, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Repeatedly, in the face. Response number four, I hope he did the Flair flop. Good job, wrestling fans. This is a terrible episode. I'd like to apologize to everybody. I've got a lot going on, and Mike. He's Mike.
Hey.
He's just Mike.
I don't know what that means. It sounds insulting, though, so I'm mad.
He's just Mike.
Goddamn Mike.
Fucking Mike. Any last words, Mike?
I'm mad at you now because you made fun of me.
I'm sorry, Mike.
You said something insulting. I'm pretty sure it was an insult. Bo Dallas.
If I called you Bo Dallas, that would be an insult.
Did you see those pictures?
No.
They got pictures of Bo Dallas and Brad Maddox on the, WWE 2K14 website.
They're
kind of hidden, though. So if you, go to view image on one of the pictures that they have and then type in their name over the wrestler that you viewed, So it's weird that they're hidden, but yeah. And Brad Maddox especially just has the derpiest face.
Oh, I did see those pictures.
Bo Derlis and Brad Maddox.
Yeah, I did see that. Why does Brad Maddox not have the dopiest voice on his face?
Yes, he has a dopey voice on his face.
Did I say dopiest?
He said he has the dopiest voice on his face.
Good night, everybody. I'm going to bed.